Welcome to Hour 2 here of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brownrigg in for Cy Kellett. He is in Rome on a pilgrimage, leading lots of wonderful listeners of Catholic Answers Live and fellow pilgrims along with Chris Check and Monsignor Eugene Morris. Keep them in your prayers. You know, that's one of those things, pilgrimage, that you just want to get the most out of. And it's wonderful that they're all out here. And I'm thrilled that I can be with you because this hour, Dr. Ray Guarendi is here. Dr. Ray, how the heck are you, my friend?
Am I equal to a two-week pilgrimage in Rome?
Well, for me, you are.
You don't get out much, do you?
Okay. I didn't want to admit that. But Dr. Ray, we're going to be talking about setting boundaries today.
No, we're not. I've decided you're not allowed. I'm setting my limits right now in this conversation.
Well, I set my limits as, you know, I had the opportunity to be with you in the same room and do this show, and I said, nope, my boundary is away from Dr. Ray. I'm so sorry.
Quite a bit away, like a half a continent.
That's right. Well, you know, this is really interesting, though. I'm really thrilled to be talking about setting boundaries. And first, let's get the phone number out here. 888-318-7884, 888-31-TRUTH. Because, you know, I think that a lot of us don't have healthy boundaries. I think we just don't even know what to do when it comes to that. And most of us are just too lenient. You know, some of us have overly cautious boundaries, but I think that's not the norm. So tell us about what is really a healthy boundary? What are you talking about?
Okay. Well, first of all, Sherry, if I was going to give you the standard psychological line, it would be something of, I need to put limits on you asking things of me. I need to be clear about what I'm willing to do or how I'm willing to act, and I need to let you know that so you don't intrude in my psychological space. Now, that's the standard psych line. Sherry, I think I'm going to throw a curve at you.
I'm ready.
People get upset. They say, well, you know, I need to set boundaries. I go, my mother-in-law, oh, my gosh, you know, she gives me her opinion about my child rearing. I don't want to hear it. I need to let her know I don't want to hear it. I need to put some limits on her opinions. And I say, well, good luck. That's the first thing I want to say. You don't have to have as strong a boundary, Sherry, or as many boundaries if stuff doesn't get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? People will say, for example, I need to let my mother-in-law know that she's stepping over the line here with the stuff she's saying. All right. The first thing is you can let her know. And the chances of her saying something like, oh, why, thank you. You know, I hadn't realized I'd done that. And I so appreciate you putting a boundary on me because it makes me rethink my whole approach. And it's good for you to point that out to me. That's going to happen one in, I don't know, 1,000 and a half times. Okay? And furthermore, if it did happen, then this would not be a person you'd have to put a boundary on because they're sweet to begin with.
Mm-hmm. All
right. So I'm going to draw a parallel between Christians being offended and Christians having to set up boundaries. Christians should be the least easily offended of people. You know, he just offends me. I can't believe he does that. That's just so offensive. Now, wait a minute. Why do you have to be offended by his bad behavior? Well, I don't like it. You don't have to like it, but why do you have to be offended by it? He shouldn't do that. Why not? I don't deserve it. I don't do that to him. I don't deserve it. You see, when we get offended, we're protecting ourselves. We're protecting our rights. We're protecting ourselves, our status. I don't want you to do this. Why? It offends me. Why does it offend you? Because it's inappropriate and you shouldn't do it. I think Christians should be the hardest to offend of all people. Why is that? Because we have a master who, if anybody deserves to be offended, it was him. And he was very good at not taking offense.
Mm.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, if you're less easily offended, by extension, you don't have to set up so many boundaries. Okay, so your father-in-law's opinionated. He's got goofy opinions about the Catholic Church and about your political stance. And, you know, he looks for a chance. He looks for a chance to stir the pot whenever he gets there, you know. And so you smile and you respond as best you can, but you recognize, I don't have to put boundaries on him. What am I going to say to him? I'm going to say, hey, I don't need you talking like that. I think it would be appropriate if you just, we disagree, so it's really important for you to keep your opinions to yourself. You can do that, and it is, quote-unquote, setting a boundary. But you wouldn't have to set it if he didn't get to you. And the question becomes, why is he getting to you? He's spouting off goofy opinions that he thinks he's always correct. So you know that. I submit, Sherry, back in the 70s, now, you weren't born yet, okay? You weren't born yet, but I'll tell you
well,
all
I'll
about
go with that. I'll go with that. Okay.
All right. Back in the 70s, the psychologist came up with something called assertiveness training. Do you recall any of that?
Oh, yeah.
And assertiveness training was, you are supposed to let people know in a healthy way, you're supposed to assert yourself and tell them how you feel about them doing certain things or saying certain things or being insulting or, if you want to say, hurtful. You're supposed to let them know this. And in no uncertain terms. And you don't be mean about it. You don't be nasty. You don't be aggressive. But you be assertive. The problem with assertiveness, too much assertiveness. Sherry, are there people in your lives that you would consider on the assertive end of the spectrum? They're going to tell you.
Indeed.
Do you like them?
You know, I do. Most of the time.
See, I think people can assert themselves into obnoxiousness.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I have found that much of the time, now, yeah, obviously you have to set boundaries when there's threatening, okay, when there's something serious, well-being, welfare. But most of the time when psychologists and people talk boundaries, Sherry, what they're talking about is boundaries with words. Something somebody has implied. Something
sure.
Somebody has insulted. Whatever. It's words. And that indicates we're protecting ourselves. Sherry, let's say that I hang up from here and I find out, because I have moles there at Catholic Answers, I find out that you said two. Boy, was Ray, he said so many stupid things I can't count them. I don't believe the guy. Darren, you gotta pick and choose who you bring on this program from here on out. Now, I know you've said this before because the word's gotten back to me, but I still love you. So, I suppose I could say, well, I think I need to talk to Sherry, and I think I need to tell her that the next time I'm on that program, she better realize that this better not happen again. I'm going to set a boundary on Sherry. I am unlikely to do that, and I'll tell you why. Because, Sherry, if that's what you think, it's what you think whether you say it or whether you don't. And I have to decide whether I want to come back on the show or not. So for me, my likelier approach is to just not say nothing and work on my own ability not to be offended by the fact that Sherry Brownrigg thinks I'm one of the crummiest guests she's ever had. Okay, I got it. Am I making kind of a twisted bit of sense here, Sherry?
You actually are, and I'm really grateful that you said that because I have had people say to me before, you know, aren't you offended by that? And I really wasn't, and I never really realized that it was probably because of my strong Christian faith that I just thought, well, you know, something's probably going on there. And as you said, you know, it's whether or not they say it, they're thinking it first. And so, you know, I think prayer is the very first thing to be applied to that. But this makes perfect sense, perfect sense. And Ray, we are up against a break here, so I want to give our listeners...
But I have more stuff I want to say. Just skip the break, Sherry. Just skip it. Tell those folks we're talking, and they can have their break later.
Well, we can still talk, just people can't hear us. That's how that works.
That would be good in some cases, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. So here's the number, 888-31-TRUTH, 888-318-7884. If you have a question for Dr. Ray Guarendi about maybe a relationship that you're in right now, what he means by some of these boundaries, and you know, maybe something that you're worried about that's coming up that you want to be able to get some advice on, that on how to set boundaries with someone, call in. Let's get that question answered for you at 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers with Dr. Ray. Stay with us.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
For many families, another year of floods, fires, and devastation have left them on a long journey towards healing and recovery. This Christmas season, the Knights of Columbus invite you to help victims of natural disasters rebuild their homes and communities, one family at a time. Visit kofc.org/relief to learn how you can keep Christ in Christmas by sharing the hope of the season in a time of great need.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. And yes, we did indeed talk during the break. And it's a good thing nobody could hear that, Ray. I'm telling you, it's you're a lot of fun, my friend. You're a lot of fun.
Sherry, somebody's going to say, what about moral boundaries? My son has been living with his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to come over the day before Thanksgiving, bring her, of course, and they want to stay in one of our upstairs bedrooms. Now, mom says, dad says, no, that's not going to happen. We're not going to do that. Now, that's a boundary. But, Sherry, what's the difference between that boundary and the kinds of boundaries we were talking about before the break?
Well, I think the boundary is that it doesn't have anything to do with you.
That's right. That is right. Your boundary is set for our Lord, for his teaching.
Yeah.
It isn't because I personally am offended that you want to do that. How dare you think so little of my morals that you would request to do that in my home? See, now we're getting self-oriented.
That makes perfect
sense. What do you think the main vice, if you want to call it that, deadly sin, underlies easily being offended, easily being hurt, easily being frustrated by what somebody says, easily being angered? What is the common denominator underlying all of them?
I would say it's pride.
Absolutely. I don't deserve that.
Yeah.
I don't do that to them. Why would they do that to me? Don't they recognize that I'm a good person? Don't they see that I try hard to be moral? Why do they say those things? They're way out of line. How could they? Yes, it's all very much prideful. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who got creamed by the religious leaders. Did he take it personally? Did he say in so many words, how dare you talk to me that way? No, he didn't. He called them out. He said, you're doing this. Is what you're doing. And this is stemming from the way you are and the way you're looking at it. But in many respects, he didn't come out and say, that really hurts me. I can't believe you don't recognize I'm the Son of God. Now, he did say that, but you see what I'm alluding to, Sherry.
Yeah, exactly.
I think, and I tell this to people all the time, I think that we Christians should be among the easiest people to get along with. That somebody should say, you know, I really don't agree with how Sherry Brownrigg looks at morals. I don't agree with her stance on all kinds of ethics, especially sexual ones. But I'll tell you what, she is a delightful person. I really like her a lot. She's always asking about me. She's interested in my life. She's pleasant. Well, you know, I may not like the way she thinks, but I'll tell you, she's one of the more appealing people I know. That's, I think, what you want as a Christian. Sherry, how many people do you personally know who are hungry?
You know, not that many.
Right. How many do you know that need food? They don't have enough food. Personally, in your circle, how many?
Not none.
Right. So what do you have to give them as a Christian?
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yourself, yeah.
Who you are. That's what you have to give them. And I think that sometimes we have to be careful. Here's the question that maybe separates it out. If I'm going to set a boundary on somebody, I got to ask myself, why am I doing this? Is it because I really don't like the way they behave or the way they think or the way they talk? I don't like that. So I'm going to tell them, okay? But what is motivating that? Is it because, well, they shouldn't be doing that around me? They shouldn't be thinking that about me. I shouldn't have to put up with that kind of attitude. That's where you start looking deeper into yourself and your own motive for setting the boundary.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest this hour on Catholic Answers Live. You know him from his radio show, which is on EWTN Radio. It's weekdays 1 p.m. Eastern, and he also has his TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray. You can see that on the EWTN Global Catholic Network. Let's head back to the phones here, 888-318-7884. That's the number. And Joe is listening to Spirit Catholic Radio in Nebraska. Hey, Joe, you're on the air with Dr. Ray.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Hi, Joe.
I have a question for you. I thought I knew the answer before I listened to you, but now I don't know that I do.
My mother is
in assisted. Yeah, you did. You threw me a curveball. My mother is in assisted living, and that is where she needs to be. However, she does realize that, but she doesn't like it. And so she'll say things to me like, can I come live with you? And I'll say, no, Mother, you can't. Yeah, I know, you don't want me. And then one day she said, if you could tell me what to do to get rid of me, I'd just do it. And Sunday she said, why don't you just throw me in front of the car and run over me? And I said, Mother, you have to stop saying these horrible things to me. They make me feel terrible.
Stop, Joe.
And there's a
difference. She's not going to stop. You know that. You be the psychologist here, Joe. Why do you think your mother is saying these kinds of things to you?
Because she knows she can get at me.
That's exactly right. She wants to retaliate. In her mind,
yes.
You're responsible for putting her there.
Right.
So she's going to do what she can to psychologically slap back at you. If you recognize that, Joe, you don't have to be as hurt as you are. Yeah, you may not want to hear it. You may not like it. And you wish your mother would be grateful and say warm, fuzzy things. I got that. We're all like that. However, the fact that she's saying those things, you're saying, I can't believe this. Doesn't she know that I love her? Doesn't she know that this is the best place for her? Why is she trying to strike at my heart like this? Well, because this is her way of flailing out at you, and the best thing you can do, Joe, and I hate to sound so psychologically sophisticated, smile and let it go in one ear and out the other. Or you can say, hey, Mom, I didn't do it. It was my sister. I fought her. I said, there's no way you should be here, Mom. But she overruled me, Mom. She's the one you got to sue.
Right. Okay.
I know,
I'm,
Joe. And,
I'm
you know,
not...
this is very, Joe, this is so common. Parents who see their freedom constricting as they get older, and they're losing the ability to have the kind of independence that they knew all their lives, they get frustrated, they get perhaps bitter, resentful, and they lash out at the closest relative, the one that they think's most responsible for them being constricted like this. And, sweetheart, the best thing you can do is just smile at your mom, and when you leave, give her a big kiss and say, I'll see you again, Mom. And recognize that every time you go visit her, recognize this, every time you go, you're going to hear 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of these kinds of remarks. They ain't going to go away.
Okay.
You can do it, Joe. And you know what else? Let me tell you something else, honey. You're getting a lot more days lopped off of purgatory by going there and dealing with your mother when she's unpleasant than if she was being a sweetheart. There's no sacrifice to go see a sweetheart. It's a sacrifice to go see somebody who's striking out at you.
That's very true.
You get extra credit in purgatory, you know what I mean?
Wow.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, honey.
There you go, Joe. You're in.
I blame my sisters. Yeah, they did it to you, Mom. I didn't. I fought them every step of the way.
Yeah. Well, I really consider myself blessed. My mom is in senior living, and she's the nicest person I know, and that is absolutely true. Just
and
wonderful.
You know what, Sherry? When you go there, the exact opposite happens to you. Your mother says, Sherry, you look like you're getting pretty close to coming and living here with me. Does she say that?
She does not. She's so nice. She'll say things like, have you lost weight? And, oh, I love your outfit. I mean, she's fantastic. So, you know.
Yeah, but
anyway.
Your mother can say that. We guys can't say that. You can't say to a woman, have you lost weight? Because right away, quick, they're going to be thinking, why? Did I need to lose weight? Why? Was I big before? Yeah, you got to be real careful when you're a guy and you say that.
Yeah,
that's
but you know, that's
dangerous things.
I'm glad you said that because I know that was kind of a joke, but isn't that really what you're talking about? I mean, what about women? Should we be offended by that kind of stuff?
If you look at the research, and this is the kind of stuff that can get you in trouble, by and large, women, the way they're wired and their hormonal fluctuations are more
careful.
Emotional than men.
Careful.
Okay. So when you are more emotional and somebody says something or does something that strikes at who you are, it's a little harder for you to talk yourself down because the emotions are stronger. Women will tell me, I don't know, I look at my husband, I don't know why this stuff doesn't bother him. You know, it just doesn't bother him. He says, yeah, that's my mother. She always says stuff like that. It drives me crazy. I'm mad for 4 hours after she leaves, and he just kind of goes in, pops some pop, and eats some chips, and falls asleep watching a rerun of a tennis match. It's not that he's more psychologically put together. It's he's wired different.
Well, you know, what I'm talking about, Dr. Ray, is really when a man will comment on a woman, like there's a famous one where they say, you know, you smile more, which is really kind of offensive to a lot of women. How should we deal with those? Because as a Christian woman, you know, there's one response, but that really is fairly offensive because the man is seeing you as a sexual object.
He's wrong. He is terribly wrong. But you don't have to be offended by it. Why? How does that go together? Oh, Dr. Ray, you're not realistic at all. Oh, yeah, wait a minute. Are you telling me that you're Pavlov's dog? That this guy sounds the sexual bell and you get offended? You don't have to. You can think to yourself, what a jerk. What a stupid remark to say.
Yeah.
All right? And that's it. You can interpret it that way. You don't have to interpret it like, I don't like what he's implying. I don't like what he's thinking. I don't like what he's looking at. You don't have to. Why? Now, a lot of times people will look at someone and say, I don't appreciate that remark. Okay, you can say that. You can say it. But you have to weigh it. You have to decide, all right, who is this guy? Am I ever going to see him again? Is this my father-in-law? You know, what am I going to do here? hey, Dad, that's not cool. Now, that's a boundary. It is. But you know what? Notice what you did there. You didn't say, I don't like when you do that. That offends me. No, you identified what he did. That's really not cool. See what you did?
Yeah. Well, that makes perfect sense, and I really appreciate you talking about that, because I think that's something that a lot of Christian women, women all over, but particularly Christian women in my circles, have talked about the right response. So Dr. Ray Guarendi is with us, and we're talking about boundaries. Call in with your question, 888-318-7884. Lots more to come here on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Every Catholic has heard the challenge, how can you believe that? Don't you know the Bible says? It's a challenge we have to meet. If we can't reconcile apparent contradictions between Scripture and Catholic teaching, how can our faith survive? And if we can't answer our Protestant brothers and sisters, how will they ever come to embrace the fullness of the faith? In Meeting the Protestant Challenge, apologist Carlo Broussard gives you the knowledge and tools you need to answer 50 of the most common Bible-based objections to Catholicism. Be prepared to give an answer. Order your copy of Meeting the Protestant Challenge today by calling 844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. There are a lot of misconceptions about the Catholic faith. We clear them up on Call to Communion, tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking with Dr. Ray Guarendi, and you know him from his radio and television show, but he's also a Catholic father of 10 adopted children. His wife is a saint. He's a clinical psychologist, an author, professional speaker, and we have him here on Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about boundaries, and if you've got a question for Dr. Ray about some kind of a boundary that you're wondering about, just call in, 888-318-7884. Dr. Ray can tackle anything. And in fact, you know, here's a good one. This is something that I think a lot of Catholics have issues with this. How do you set a boundary and not be fearful about someone perhaps maybe not liking you? For example, if there's a gay quote-unquote marriage that's happening in your family and you go because you don't want people to be mad at you, how do you take care of those kinds of things? Call in, you know, any question in terms of boundaries or just, you know, something that's on your mind that you're just thinking about, gosh, I'm really having trouble with this person. Call in. Dr. Ray is at the ready at 888-318-7884. Mark is in San Antonio listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hello, Mark. You're on the air with Dr. Ray.
Yes, hi, ma'am. Thank you so much for taking my call. And hi, Dr. Guarendi.
What's up there, Mark?
Yes, sir. Just as a disclaimer, I'm not a Catholic, but I've got a chance to hear you off and on.
Well, wait a minute. Hold on. Did they put you at the end of the line?
Right? No, it's all good.
But they let you sneak in, huh, Mark? So, all right, I'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Doctor. Well, I've heard you, off and on the radio, and I've really appreciated and benefited from, a number of things you shared, and I heard the topic tonight, so I just felt like I really felt compelled to call. My wife, who I love dearly, she's a diabetic, type 2 diabetic. She's been hospitalized a couple different times because of some complications from her diet and blood pressure and so forth, but particularly tied in with her diabetes. And so, it really seems that she has an addiction to sugar and chocolate. And I mean, more than just, passing, liking for it. It's just something, when we're going through the stores and wherever we're going, she just really, she just locks in, on sugar and chocolates. And she, kind of partakes, little pieces here, throughout the day, different food portions that have sugar in it. And I've tried to talk with her, I feel like, in a loving way, but I also recognize the codependency myself as well, about trying to how to communicate with her. So the bottom line, my question is, how can I communicate to my wife in a way, for my concern for her health and for just our lives together, with this, what I perceive to be, this addiction. And in terms of boundaries, what kind of boundaries can I set in this instance that won't alienate me from her, and yet can help me to maybe communicate, get across, or better, let her know how I feel, but in such a way that doesn't come across as being judgmental and preachy.
Mark, I don't think you're really asking how can I approach my wife so that she hears the love, she hears my concern. I think you're asking, how can I do this so that I get through to her and she changes her conduct, right?
Right. And
that's the question.
Of course, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, it's because for her health and, for, the fact she's actually been hospitalized, as a result of some of these things.
How long has she been type 2 diabetic, Mark?
I think it's been about at least, going on like 16 years now, actually. So,
how many times would you estimate that you have poured your heart out, you have pleaded, you have begged, you have brought up the children wanting to see their mother, walk them down the aisle, every conceivable way that you know how to approach this subject? How many times would you say you've done that?
Yeah. Well, we've only been married together just a short time, but in the time that we've been together, it's been at least a dozen times, probably at least. So.
You've been together how long?
Actually, it's only been about we've only been married actually just since since September, so it's been a relatively short time. And I knew that she was diabetic, and I knew that I could see her once in a while, kind of.
How
going
long have you
sweets,
known her?
But it really wasn't.
How
after
long have
we
you known
married
her?
That I noticed.
Mark, how long have you known her?
The pattern.
Mark, how long have you known her?
It's been just over 9 months.
Total?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you figure a dozen times. So that's roughly once a month. Now, my guess would be it's more than that, but it just, we lose count, especially when we are so intense about trying to reach someone, we lose count. Like the parent who nags a kid. And if I ask him, how many times do you think you told him that? Oh, I'll bet I told him 3 or 4 times. No, I counted. It was 13. Okay, so we underestimate. That's the first thing. But my point is this. You have told her you love her. You have told her you want to grow old with her. Everything. And at this point, now she's been diabetic for 16 years. So prior to you, she's been doing this. Right?
Right.
Right. At this point, and that's going to be the hardest thing to do, shut your mouth about the diabetes. Just shut it. Don't bring it up. Always focus on how much you love being with her, how much you want to share your life with her, And by extension, she's going to hear, yeah, I want to be, maybe this guy really wants me to be around a while. But you're not bringing up the diabetes. Forget that. That's going to be a diminishing return. Now, somebody might say to me, Ray, wait a minute. Now, this poor guy, he's concerned. He's concerned about this wife's future. Mark, I have a son who's 29 years old. His birth mother gave him hepatitis C in the womb. She was an IV drug user. We discovered his hepatitis when he was 16. He got treatment. It didn't cure him. 2 years ago, there's a new treatment out, and it cured him. However, he is between stage 3 and stage 4 liver disease. Stage 4 is cirrhosis of the liver. I tell my son, please, please don't drink. Please, not even one beer. Please don't drink. I've done it for about 5 years off and on. I have finally shut my mouth. I don't say it anymore. I can't. He, in his mind, he's fine. The liver doesn't hurt. He's fine. So in a way, I got a parallel situation to yours, Mark. I just try to show my son how much I love him, how much I want to see him watch me grow old. And he says, Dad, I already saw it. You're already there. Well, older. And that's where you're at. I think the more you pound away at this, the more you're going to see that she's just going to, she'll sneak is what she'll do, Mark. You know that, right?
Right. Yes, sir.
She'll get real good at not doing it in front of you. You have any idea what her A1C is? By the way, I have a diabetic son too. What's her A1C?
I think the last hospitalization she had was like 10.2 or something like that.
Yeah, that's high. That's high, but it's not crazy, but it's high. Okay. So she's what, in her 30s, in her 40s?
No, she's 51.
Oh, okay. All right. Maybe you can do this, Mark. Next time you sit down with her, you say, honey, help me to understand. I know so much about you, but there's some things I just want to understand, and I'm definitely not here to dispute you. I just want to know. I know you love sugar, and I know maybe you feel ripped off by life because most people can have sugar and you're not supposed to. Tell me what it is that even though you've had trouble with your sugar, that you still want these things. Just tell me. I won't dispute you. I won't put you down, honey. I'm not going to do any of that. I just want to know how you think. That's all. I just want to understand. Try that. Get inside her head.
Okay.
Okay, buddy. By the way, if next time you call, Sherry?
Yes?
If Mark is not a Catholic, put him in the front of the line for me, okay? I got a guest pass, and I can get him right to the front.
Mark, you sound like a wonderful person and a wonderful husband, too, so that's fantastic. And thanks for loving your wife so much. Wow. 888-318-7884. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest, and we've got more to come here, including your calls at 888-31-TRUTH. Stay with us here at Catholic Answers Live.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
A lot of people think that street evangelization involves yelling out of a bullhorn telling people that they're going to hell. Not so with St. Paul's Street Evangelization. Our methods are non-confrontational and effective. We simply offer information on the Catholic faith along with rosaries, miraculous medals, and prayer. Pope Francis wrote about how beautiful it is to see street preachers joyfully bringing Jesus to every corner of the earth. Street evangelization is fun and fruitful. Join us today at streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Sherry Brown Rigg in for Cy Kellett, who is in Rome on pilgrimage. Hey, here's the number you should call to talk to Dr. Ray Guarendi. He is our guest this hour, 888-318-7884. And we are talking about boundaries of all sorts, 888-31-TRUTH. And Dr. Ray, we'll get back to the phones here in just a minute. But I do want to tell you about something that I told you I would last hour. Last hour, we talked about the Advent and Christmas season that Catholic Answers is challenging you to jump into your faith like never before. Well, this year, we've got two great ways to challenge yourself, your friends, and your family. So last hour, we talked about the 20 Answers Advent Challenge. Now we're going to tell you about challenge number two, Meet the Protestant Challenge, okay? Carlo Broussard's new book, Meeting the Protestant Challenge, is the perfect way to challenge yourself this Advent. And Carlo examines 50 challenges that Protestants commonly make from the Bible, covering a variety of topics concerning church authority, scripture and tradition, salvation, the sacraments, Mary and the saints, eschatology, and Catholic life and practice. And then he offers you a series of ways to meet these challenges, ultimately showing that the challenges don't succeed in proving Catholic beliefs to be contrary to the Bible. You know, that's something I think all of us wish we had right at the tip of our tongue. It's a great way to learn about your faith this Advent. And through this Sunday, the 10th, we're offering free shipping on Carlo's book within the continental U.S. So pretty exciting stuff here. You can get that at shop.catholic.com. All right. So, Dr. Ray, we are heading back to the phones here. We've got Ray. Ray's in Omaha listening to Spirit Catholic Radio. And, Ray, you're on with Ray.
Hello, Doctor.
Hey, Ray. Ray all day.
Exactly. My question, I'm trying to be careful here because it's a very sensitive topic. My wife and I have been separated for about 2.5 years. I moved to Omaha recently to be near my kids so I can visit with them. I haven't seen them since February. But I'm trying my hardest to save our marriage, but she's on a trajectory for divorce. She's made some poor decisions regarding our daughter, who is now living in sin with her boyfriend, our 18-year-old daughter. I would have never allowed that, even though she's of age. I'm still her father, and we're still Catholic, as far as I know. And then where are there boundaries that I need to have with my daughter, as well as trying to save my marriage when my wife has already told everybody that the marriage is over? But like a priest friend of mine said, he goes, God doesn't think the marriage is over. So, you know, anyone that thinks the marriage is over is, you know, opposing what God says. So my question is, where are the boundaries, not just with my wife, but with my daughter? So, and she won't answer, my daughter won't speak to me about, you know, her current living situation with her boyfriend. And
Ray, you got no boundaries to set on your daughter. None. First of all, you haven't been in her life, okay? Second of all, the reason that your wife isn't setting boundaries is because, and I see this just so often, she's afraid. She doesn't want to lose her daughter. She doesn't want to alienate her daughter. She doesn't want her daughter's reaction if she attempts to set some kind of moral boundaries on her. So she won't do it. And this is so common, Ray, I can't tell you. And if you try to do it, your wife is going to look at you like, where are you coming from with this? This is why I don't even want to be married to you. You come in here, you barge in here, and you want to tell our daughter how to live her life? So here's my suggestion, Ray. If you think there is some spark left in your wife for the marriage, and if you think that she would want to stay married if you were different, and for example, that the reason she's leaving is because she has a laundry list 9 miles long of all the ways that she doesn't like you, okay? You sit down with her, and you say, I've done a ton of thinking. And I want you to know that give me time to show you that I can be the way you want me to be. All the ways that you thought that you wanted out of this marriage because of me, because of my conduct, because of the way I think, because of the way I am. I want to know that. I want to know it all. I won't dispute it. I won't argue with it. I won't make excuses. I want to hear it all. Tell me it all. And then I want you to tell me what you need me to do to change. Now, Ray, here's the problem. You could go out and poll 100 people, and 84 of them would say, well, wait a minute. Ray's wife is out of line. He's not like that. He doesn't do those things. Give him a little slack. You're not in a position to challenge that. And you know why you're not, Ray? Because she wants out. Two people will come into my office. One of them is within 1 inch of divorce. The other one says, I don't want a divorce. I want to save my marriage. And sometimes I will say to that person, well, then what you have to do is find out all the reasons why your spouse wants out. And then you have to commit to your spouse to the best of your ability that you're going to listen to those reasons and you're going to change. But I'm not always wrong. I agree with that. But you don't hold any cards. Your spouse holds all the cards. They want out. So the only chance you have is to try to get to the bottom of what is it about me, the way I act, the way I've been, our history, everything that puts you to this point. And I ask you, please, if you give me 6 months, a year, to show you I'm really changing those things. We don't have to move back in together. Just let me work on that stuff to prove to you that I hear what you're saying. I think, Ray, that's your only chance. Can you do it?
I think I can do it, sure. I'm trying. I've been trying for two and a half years now, but now there's a third party involved.
Oh boy. Has she served you with the papers yet?
No. She's got to wait a couple more months. According to the state.
All right. Well, you can still try it, Ray, but yeah, the odds of it succeeding have just plummeted. But regarding your children, I hope you have visitation. I hope you have some kind of agreement with her. And when you go to court, if you go to court, that you'd get it in writing that you can see these children. That's the only way you'll have a relationship with them. And keep in mind that it sounds like your wife is frightened of trying to set some limits on this 18-year-old because she's afraid of losing the 18-year-old's affection or connection or whatever. God bless you, Ray. I see it all the time. God bless you, my friend.
Ray, we're so sorry to hear about this, but please know a lot of people are praying for you right now. So hopefully that helps. And we head from Nebraska to Michigan. Mel is on the line, and she's listening to Ave Maria Radio. Hey, Mel, you're on with Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hi. I listen on Al Cresta's station. I've seen you, Dr. Ray, in town, and it's been fun. But my hard-headedness is with I don't want to go on Facebook, and my whole family's on Facebook. And I just think it's like a bad chain letter, or is it, and you get too much information.
It's like those Christmas letters that you get that are nothing but brag letters. My son Sterling has just been appointed PTA Child of the Decade, and I, while I knit shawls for the women in the nursing home, while every day I say the rosary at Aramaic over broken glass, I know, and that's what Facebook is. Look at me, let me show you.
And I don't even, you know what else bugs me? Like, some stuff people put on there, you're supposed to like it or not like it. What if you just really don't really want to even ponder it? You know what I mean?
Move on.
One, a little self-disclosure. Yeah. 2 years ago, I was approached, and a dear lady said, Ray, you got to be on Facebook. I said, I don't want to be on Facebook. She said, you can help people. You can put out things to help people. I said, okay, but I don't want to say, look, here's me eating a roast beef sandwich. Roast beef is my favorite sandwich. I went to Arby's yesterday. Here I am sitting at Arby's. I said, I won't do that. I refuse it. She said, okay, I understand. So I do have a Facebook page, and it is hopefully helpful. I'll do monologues, or I'll do little videos to help parents and people. Okay. Now, the second point. You have every right, Mel, to not be on Facebook. You don't have to be on Facebook. What you're saying is, well, how do I get people to understand? You don't. See, that's part of the problem nowadays. We want to act well within our rights, whether that's morally, in our faith, or just personal preference. Your personal preference is no Facebook. Okay, I got that. And other people are thinking, oh, Mel, you're weird. Come on, Mel. This is how everybody talks. What are you doing, shutting yourself off from everybody? Come on, Mel. You don't even care about what people do. Don't defend yourself. You just say, I'm just not into Facebook at all. And that's it. And if they don't understand it, what are you going to do, Mel? Are you going to get on Facebook to try to make them understand it? I don't think so. You could put out a Facebook message. Hey, I don't want to be on Facebook. That's my Facebook message. Tune in tomorrow. I'll give you another Facebook message. That's it. You know, Mel, so much of life, so very much of life. You know that song by St. Francis, or it's put the words, help me not so much to be understood as to understand?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we all want to be understood. We all want people to go, oh, that's okay. I know why you did that. Sure, I accept that. Oh, yes, I'm tolerant of your viewpoint. We want that. We want that desperately. But again, the reality is that's not life. That is not life. Most people are not going to understand why you do what they do, especially if you're not walking with the crowd. And not being on Facebook is not walking with the crowd.
Right.
So, Mel, me and Sherry agree with you. So now you got two other people on your side. That should be enough.
That's all I care about.
Yeah.
You think
there
Al Cresta would agree with you, too? With
probably.
Me?
He would, but that's because I have to instruct him.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
He'll take care of Al.
Yeah, I'll take care of Al.
Thanks, Mel. Appreciate that.
See
all right,
you,
Mel. We're gonna squeeze in one last question here. It's Lester in Indiana listening to 89.9 FM. Hey, Lester. You're on the air with Dr. Ray.
Yes, ma'am. How are you today, ma'am?
We are good. And Lester, I do have to be honest with you. We have just a couple of minutes left, so it's best if you launch into your question and give Dr. Ray a chance to answer.
Okay. First of all, thanks for taking my call. I have a couple questions. Is it okay to adopt? Because we can't have kids, me and my wife.
Lester, why would you think it's not okay? Our Lord says, whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name welcomes me. St. James in chapter 2 says, and this is faith that is pure and defiled before the Lord, that we take care of the widows and the orphans of their distress. Absolutely. That's a wonderful thing to adopt, my friend. Give a kid a home. Give a couple of kids a home. And get the tax deductions while you're at it.
My wife is against it. But that's why I'm asking that.
Okay, I've got a book called Adoption, Choosing It, Living It, Loving It. And in it, I deal with the situation where one spouse wants to and the other one doesn't. And I talk about, perhaps, how to bring them around. I think you got to get down to the bottom of why your wife is resistant. And my guess would be that she may be thinking, I don't feel confident that I could love this kid as much as I should. That may be it. That's one of the most common anxieties that pre-adoptive parents have. And take it from me, man. You couldn't love the kids more.
Okay. Well, okay. So, I mean, this book that you've got, how can I get my hands on it?
Just go to my website, drray.com. All my books are there. There's a whole bunch, and they're all signed.
And Lester, it's drray.com. So that'll get you right there to getting all those books. So, gosh, Lester, we'll be praying for you. I know that's a tough one here.
This is a common one. This is very typical.
Yeah, God bless your heart, too, for wanting to give a child a home.
Well, my wife, she's such a wuss because I wanted to adopt 12 or 13, and she says, I think 10's enough. I said, oh, come on, cry me a river.
Yes, Mr. Travel every weekend. Okay, we're just going to let that one lie. Dr. Ray, it's been always a joy, and this time is no exception, so we appreciate you being on.
Thanks, Sherry.
Oh, God bless you. You can find out more about Dr. Ray's, all of his books and his speaking, et cetera, by going to drray.com. That's drray.com. I'm Sherry Brownrigg. I'll be back tomorrow, and Jimmy Akin will be with me. It's an open forum tomorrow, so get those questions ready. God bless.